Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Just take a moment to gently come out of that beautiful meditation, because we could spend a lot longer in there, couldn't we? It's beautiful. And I love the fact that we, by happenstance, though nothing is by happenstance, nothing's coincidence in this life, but when we were working on the meditation, and Wendy was putting it together, she had no idea that we were going to use that particular piece of music, but Larissa knew, so it was beautiful coming together of that mystical music with those mystical ideas. And this idea that we have this expansive awareness, right, that is above and beyond any of the highs and lows of our lives. That's the beauty of what we're contacting. We are so much more magnificent than we could ever imagine, right? And we can cooperate with that and co-create with that energy. When I put the sermon title together a few months ago, I thought, well, it's going to be spring, it's May Day, let's talk about the fertile earth, you know, because it's all fertile and abundant and beautiful, all the pretty little flowers and all that, all the blossoming of everything. And yes, it's been a magnificent spring, hasn't it? And we see evidence of the fruitfulness of nature all around us. And yet, we also see the destructive nature around us as well, God's destructive power through nature. There's the benign, and then there's the destructive. We see it in the Paul, in the terrible earthquake over there, and the destruction of so many buildings, but also so many deaths. We see it in our local neighborhood. We see the tornadoes and the high winds. We see it in our church. Because when we went away to conduct Wendy's daughter's wedding, the 100-mile-an-hour wind didn't go away. It came over here and ripped off our new roof, because we had a new roof put on our building across the street. Well, it got peeled off like a sardine can. And it didn't just take the roof, it took the decking, everything. As a result, and I'll talk more about this as we progress into our sermon, because it's apropos of the destructive and benign nature of Mother Earth, and the fact that we have to deal with it, either by bemoaning it or in a creative way. Anyway, what happened was the server room was destroyed, so we now have no server or computer or database, so hard to conduct business in a modern church, right, or a modern business. And it also leaked down into my office, destroyed my office. So no papers were destroyed, but the carpet's gone and the sheetrock's not looking so good. So I went from a cozy office to being dispossessed, folks. I'm no longer there. Now, I must admit, for a few days when I first saw this destruction, you know, and it's all relative, isn't it? We're still here. Everything's good. You know, all is well. But when I first saw it, I was kind of disheartened, because I thought, you know, that was my little sanctuary. That's my place where I do a lot of my work every week, and now it's gone. And so it's easy to get into that why me, God attitudes, you know, why did this happen? We just put this new roof on. Why did you rip it off, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, that you can't live like that, because if you're living from that context, life is miserable, isn't it? Life is weighing down upon you, and we're way more creative than that. This is the awareness we're talking about. We have an awareness that is not dependent on highs and lows, yeah? And so after a few days, I thought, wow, actually this is a good thing, because it is a cleansing, right? And that's the good side of God's destructiveness. If nature is benign, it's also destructive. Tibetans talk about the peaceful and the wrathful deities, two sides of the coin. They nest in each other. What is the good news about destruction? What's the good news? It breeds creation. It's a time of renewal, right? Things are broken down so they can rise again. Always amazed me when I first went to Europe in the 60s from Britain and went to the continent, and I'd seen pictures of what Germany was like after World War II, you know, totally destroyed cities. And yet when I went there, everything was rebuilt, renewed, looked like new. And I thought, this is the power of creativity. This is our cooperative power with God's creativity. Things can be destroyed, and yet they arise, and they are replaced sometimes by even better things. So I thought, I can have a Zen office now. I don't have to put all that stuff back in that's been in my office for years. I'm going to take it home, and I'm going to sort of put it back a few pictures, you know. All the papers that I've been meaning to go through, I'm having to go through now. So it's like God is, you know, gives you a wake-up call and says, come on, it's time to do this, it's time to cleanse. And actually, you know, my stage of my career, I'm, what, 60-something now, and, I, you know, I'm not going to be here forever. And so it's a nice idea of, well, how can I move out? How can I prepare for the next stage? Not that I'm leaving anytime soon, but it's preparing. It's shifting all the detritus, all the weight of things that have accumulated in the last 27 years of ministry. So I see these things as two sides of the same coin, right? We cannot have the renewal without the cleansing, without the releasing, without the circulation. And that's what a rummage sale is all about, folks. It is getting rid of stuff so that more stuff can come. So if you've got stuff, bring it, you know, or maybe it doesn't have to come back. Maybe you can simplify and just keep it to something simple, but it's the same idea of that endless flow. I'm still bummed out, by the way, that I don't have an office and that we don't have a server. Because in a modern church, you know, we rely so much on the electronics. But funny thing is, I was on the phone the week before last, with someone, and they were saying, well, how do you conduct business in your office? You know, what goes on? And I said, well, you know, I can conduct most business now from my iPhone. Ooh, I shouldn't have said that. God was listening. You don't need an office anymore. Boom! You could do everything from your iPhone. Not quite. Didn't mean it quite literally. But the good news is, yes, I can. I can do an awful lot because I can do emails and texts and stay in touch and all that, print off stuff, you name it. So it's amazing what you can do. So we have to stay creative, right? There's always choice. We cannot always, well, often we can't at all choose what's going to happen. But we can choose how we respond to it because the nature of awareness is limitless. The nature of awareness links us directly to God's creativity, and we can be part and parcel of that creativity, yes? I can choose to be in the flow of that good. And if I see it in that light, I see everything that happens to me as a blessing, yeah? Have you noticed when you're in grief, you can't be grieving all the time, yeah? I've been through a number of grieving situations in my life so far, and I've noticed that sometimes I'm very joyous during that time, and I recognize that person that I've lost has gone on, they're fine, they're well, they're free of bodily restrictions, and then I crash into the grief again and think, no, but I miss them so terribly. But they nest together, right? And we have to have both together, otherwise we can't sustain a meaningful life. We talked about this yesterday. The old translation in the Bible, in the Sermon on the Mount, says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You know, and that's a tall order, isn't it? God, I got to be perfect. But the actual translation of the word perfect means wholehearted or complete. So be wholehearted or complete as God is complete. Beautiful, isn't it? Because that is attainable. It means I accept everything that comes to me and I see it for good because I see it's part of the wholehearted nature of life. Destruction and creation nest together. They're part of that wholehearted completeness of things. How many people have got demons running after them? How many people have got demons rolling around in their heads? Okay, how many people have got ogresses? An ogress is a female ogre. And an ogress, and the ogress they talk about in Tibet is the ogress of the rock. There's this ogress that sits on a rock, right? And I know that ogress. It's got a big, ugly face looking down on me. So all my anxieties, fears, you know, ain't it awful, all my resentments hanging out there. Well, listen to this, because the great Tibetan mystic and yogi, Milarepa, was possessed by demons. He lived in a cave, and he might have meditated most of the day, but he still had these demonic forces of doubt and fear coming to him. He didn't know what to do about them, and it explains about it in here, in this wonderful book, The Words of My Perfect Master, The Words of My Wholehearted Teacher, right? That's what it means. When Milarepa was living in the Garuda Fortress Cave in the Chong Valley. That's cool too, isn't it? If I want to live in a cave, I want it to be a cool name like that, you know? The Garuda Fortress Cave. Oh, yeah. That's cool. In the Chong Valley. Yeah. The king of obstacle makers, Vinayaka, produced a supernatural illusion. He ripped his roof off. That's what he did. In his cave, Milarepa found five demons with eyes the size of saucers. He prayed to his teacher and to his guardian deity, but the demons did not go away. He meditated on the visualization of his deity and recited wrathful mantras, but still they would not go. Well, wonder why? Because he was trying to resist or fix something, you know? And when we try and make it better by fixing it, resisting it, or trying to overcome it, then it persists, doesn't it? Because we are not working with the creativity of the universe. We're not working with the creativity of our spirits. We're not working with full awareness. We are trying to fix things in some way, make it better. But finally, Milarepa thought, Marpa, my teacher, showed me that everything in the universe is mind, and that the nature of mind is empty and radiant, just like Wendy was explaining. To believe in these demons and obstacle makers as something external and to want them to go away has no meaning. In other words, I don't create meaning by looking at circumstances outside of myself and getting in a tizzy because it's not working my way. I create meaning by looking at those things and saying, aha, a golden opportunity arises. Yes? There's something in my consciousness that wants to create something more magnificent. Feeling powerful confidence in the view that no spirits and demons are simply one's own perceptions, he strode back into his cave. Terrified and rolling their eyes, and they had big eyes like saucers, terrified and rolling their eyes, the demons disappeared. Because demons, adverse circumstances, worries, anxieties, resentments, fears cannot exist where? In a mind full of confidence and love. In a mind filled with the flow of God's good, right? In a mind that knows that destruction and creation are part and parcel of the way it works on planet Earth. And I can just contribute to it. Or I can be a solution to it. I can be a part of the problem. You know, I'm thinking about Baltimore, too. I'm thinking of all the years since 1964 that we made progress, and then we moved back, made some more progress. And now we're in a weird stage in our country, aren't we? One after another, different cities throughout the states are experiencing these riots and these difficulties. And it's easy to blame one or the other. But really, what we want is to bring more awareness and love, isn't it? To see a solution here that's higher than them and us. And so, can I do anything about it? No. Can I help the people in Nepal? Well, I could send some money, I guess, but can't do a lot. But I could do a huge amount by maintaining a healthful consciousness in my own life, right? Not to get overwhelmed by reverses in my own experience, but to see them as opportunities. Because what am I doing then? I'm creating more confidence, love in this universe, because there is no time or space to spirit, right? When I lift my consciousness, when I react in a creative way and respond in a creative way, what am I doing? I'm enlarging the good. I'm bringing more of heaven to earth. I'm bringing God consciousness to bear, right? Which is the antidote to all the human consciousness that can divide and separate. This is also, here comes the ogress of the rock. This is also what the ogress of the rock meant when she sang to him. This is what she sang. This demon of your own tendencies arises from your mind. If you don't recognize the nature of your mind, I'm not going to leave just because you tell me to. In other words, if you're not aware of who you really are, if you're stuck in your human ego, I'm going to stick around too. Yeah? But when you remember who you really are, empty and free, then there's nowhere to stick anymore. If you don't realize that your mind is void, there are many more demons beside myself. Now, void doesn't mean empty and meaningless. It means empty so it can be open to possibility, yes? just like this room contains space so we can all be in here. Ever tried to drink from a cup that is solid all the way up? You can't put any liquid in it, can you? It's the emptiness that creates the possibility for you to drink. Yes? It's that kind of void. If you don't realize your mind is void, there are many more demons beside myself. But it gets better, folks. This is really good. But if you recognize the nature of your own mind, adverse circumstances will serve only to sustain you. That is a powerful line, isn't it? And even I, ogress of the rock, will be at your bidding. Even the ogress of the rock is going to be at our bidding, right? Even the torn off roof, even the ripped up carpet is a joy to behold because it's an opportunity for total renewal, yes? I'm doing a new thing, glory, hallelujah. This is exciting, yeah? So the apparent reverse is actually a blessing. And everything then becomes part of that. It's raw material, it's raw energy to be used in a more fruitful direction. So, how do we do it, folks? How do we do it? Because I could talk about it forever, but how are we going to do it? What are we going to do to shift it around? Where's the key? Okay, so we're looking for the good. I'm not looking for the good out there, am I? Because I can't see it out there right now. When am I looking for the good then? I have to look for the good inside me to know that I am that awareness, that spaciousness, that openness, that void that contains everything from which everything can flow. And then I look back at the circumstances and I see, oh yeah, there's wonderful opportunities here. And I notice that it's not going to really slow the church down because the church is not based around my office or even the server and the computers. The church is based in what? Living people having a good time. Yeah, and that's why we're going to have a real good time at the town hall meeting and the food that we're going to eat in a minute and the picnic and the maypole dance. It's time to go around the maypole, isn't it? Woo! Because what are we doing when we're going around the maypole? You don't have to do it literally, but you could enjoy it in the spirit of it. Going around the maypole is, I am part and parcel of this wholehearted nature of life, yeah? And I don't have to know how it all works together. Like I didn't know there was a wind coming, right? I don't know these things, but I have to stay in awe of the creative possibilities of God. And I want to read two scriptures just to seal this. Because these speak to me very much. Whenever I got adverse things happening in my life, there's my favorite psalm. It really is my favorite, although I tell everybody there's so many favorites in the Bible, but this really is my favorite one. This is Psalm 139. And to me, it's beautiful because it opens us up to the fact my humanness doesn't really know much, but the spirit, my awareness, knows everything. Where can I escape from your spirit or flee from your presence? If I climb up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in the hellish state, in Sheol, you're there. If I travel to the limits of the east or dwell in the bounds of the western sea, even there your hand will be guiding me, your right hand hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness will steal over me and the day around me turn to night. Anybody ever been there? Yes, we have. Darkness is not too dark for you, and night is light as day. To you, both dark and light are one, destruction and creation. A part and parcel of the wholehearted life, right? When things break down, it's an opportunity for newness of life. You it was who fashioned my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for you fill me with awe. Wonderful you are, and wonderful your works. You know me through and through. You know me through and through because you are me. We are God. We are of God, right? We are part of that creative flow, that creative energy. So we are magnificent, yes? We dare to claim our good. Nothing can get in our way if we remember that truth. You know me through and through. My body was no mystery to you when I was formed in secret, woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes foresaw my deeds, and they were all recorded in your book. My life is fashioned before it had come into being. There is a divine order that wraps around our days, and we can contribute and co-create with that divine order. How mysterious, God, are your thoughts to me? How vast in number they are. Were I to try counting them, they would be more than the grains of sand. To finish the count, my years must equal yours. We are dealing with energies that are so unbelievable that they literally can transform everything, right? Now, they may not be powerful enough to help Manny win last night, but God has limits. But Manny did go the whole way, didn't he, with him? So that was good. Guess nobody watched the match. And I grew up in Wales back in the 50s, and like many of us back then, you know, boxing was very popular, you know. And then, social event. And then what? When was it that it became a niche sport? It was kind of moved out of the networks. Remember, there was Friday night boxing and all that, and then it was kind of moved out because people thought, well, it's too violent and everything. And it is violent, but I think there's a level of skill at the higher levels that there's a joy to see, and I think that's what happened in the game last night, in the match last night. Anyway, that has nothing to do with the sermon, by the way. So I don't know why I even went there. But let's wrap up with Job, shall we? That's always a happy moment to end on. You know, a lot of people think Job is kind of boring and negative and everything, but really there's some magnificent things in Job, and the last five or so chapters are just great. I want to read just for a little bit, because I want to ask a question here. When it says, where were you when I fashioned all these things, our humanness can say, well, I wasn't there because I'm just little old me, but when we ask ourselves, where was my spirit, we could say, my spirit was there, because there's no time or space to God, right? There's no time or space to spirit. So therefore, the very things that God was doing, I was doing from my spiritual self. That's my awareness. My awareness is magnificent through the whole of history here, through the billions of years of creation. I have been participating in that. In fact, we have elements within us right now that were created, what, 8 billion years ago, on stars way out in space, right? Some of the heavier elements within us were created back then, and now they're in us. So we are literally 8 billion years old, parts of us. That's a cool idea, isn't it? Oxygen was created how many billion years ago? Now it's in us, right? So we have participated in that whole breadth of God history, literally, physically, definitely, spiritually. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you know and understand who fixed this dimension. Surely you know. Well, no, I don't as a human being, but as a spiritual being, yes, I know. It's magnificent. It's coursing through me. Did you see the moon last night? It's not just out there, is it? The moon's in here, you know. I know astrological influences and everything, but literally it moves the tide, so it's moving our blood. We are intimately linked with this stuff. Who stretched a measuring line over it? On what do its supporting pillars rest? Who set its corner post in place when the morning stars sang in chorus and the sons of God all shouted for joy? Beautiful poetry. Who supported the sea at its birth when it burst in flood from the womb, when I wrapped it in a blanket of cloud and swaddled in a dense fog, when I established its bounds, set its barred doors in place and said, thus far you may come, but no farther. Here your surging waves must halt. In all your life, have you ever called up the dawn or assigned the morning its place? No, but I've communed with it. And when my spirit is one with it, my awareness is there, as in the meditation, I could say, yes, I am one with that dawn experience. Have you taught it to grasp the fringes of the earth and shake the dog star from the sky to bring up the horizon in relief as clay under a seal? Until all things stand out like the folds of a cloak, when the light to the dog star is dimmed and the stars of the navigator's line go out one by one. Have you gone down to the springs of the sea and walked in the unfathomable deep? Have the portals of death been revealed to you? From my humanness, no. Where have my loved ones gone? But in my spirit, I know all is well. I have felt their presence, and I know that life continues. Yeah? It's that dichotomy again, isn't it? It's resting in both. It's that wholehearted life. letting spirit inform my humanness. So I don't have to stay crestfallen because of reverses. Now I say, wow, this is a golden opportunity for a new life. Have you seen the doorkeepers of the place of darkness? Have you comprehended the vast expanse of the world? Tell me all this if you know. It's a journey, isn't it? It's a journey of opening ourselves more widely and effectively and magnificently to the possibilities. So we can see reverses as problematic. We can worry about the demons and the ogress of the rock. And there's one for you, I'm sure, that's niggling at you right now. Or we could say, listen, all those things are self-created. My mind is of God. It's not of a demonic nature. It's not of fear and difficulty and resentment. It's of faith and possibility. And when we can do that, there's the promise. Even the ogress of the rock comes along to serve us. We are in the flow, and all is well. Amen?
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you, divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.